Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome on over to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio, currently inside of Tel Aviv as I am filming this. Let's see what it is, about 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. Not only are there rockets pouring over into Israel from the Gaza Strip, but also ballistic missiles, it would appear, at first glance, are being shot from Lebanon down into Israel. Even earlier today, another ballistic missile was intercepted over top of Israel that got fired by the Houthis down in Yemen. All of that and more are going to be coming at you. We also have more updates from the northern border. Check this out. Israel has actually declared this entire area up along that northern border that I just showed you from the coast up and over as a special military operation zone. Now, why is that important? Because that is exactly what they did before they launched their first ground incursion over into Lebanon just the other day. And now they're doing it again in the exact same location that I told you Friday. It's like I saw it coming or that I study warfare. Now, today is October 7th. It has been 1 year since the brutal attack from Hamas on the Israeli people and truthfully citizens from all around the world who got caught up in it. But has it been effective? And while college students and people without jobs here in the United States of America are busy losing their minds and shutting down highways, I promise you I will be bringing you accurate and up-to-date information from over inside of Israel and the front lines, actually telling you what's going on and doing my best to make a difference. We're going to go straight now to the skies over Tel Aviv where ballistic missiles have been launched from Yemen. Check this out. I'm telling you, I've got video after video after video of these interceptions from all different angles in and around the Tel Aviv area. It's unknown, truthfully, I haven't been able to see confirmed yet since I started filming this about how many missiles were launched from Lebanon into Israel. But it would appear right now, the most accurate count I can find is 5. And the videos definitely support that. You don't see a massive interception of like hundreds of ballistic missiles. That's not what happened. However, the rockets that were being fired out of Gaza right around the same time, yeah, they launched quite a few of them. Check this out.
Right now, a massive barrage of rockets coming off of the Gaza Strip. This is an effort by Hamas and Islamic Jihad to overwhelm Israel's missile defense system, the Iron Dome. It's just a constant barrage, one after another. You can hear the explosions there. The Iron Dome picking up some of this fire, but not all of it.
Like, I'm telling you right now, like, Fox News does not pay that man enough. I've seen that dude running through tunnels inside Lebanon. I've seen him like directly underneath the Iranian ballistic missile attack the other day. And now he's down on the freaking border near Gaza, just waiting. It's like he knew. It's like he knew that Hamas would be launching all of those rockets. Same thing up over in the north. I think we can kind of assess why that's going on. Pretty obvious if we're being honest with ourselves. Let's go back and check out some more of those videos from over top of Tel Aviv.
It smells of the moon. Вот это был?
Угу.
Вот. Джу.
Now, sadly, this is a reality that Israelis live under on a daily basis, particularly if you're up in the north right now, in and around Tel Aviv or Haifa or some area like that. And the reason those areas are getting slammed so heavily by Hezbollah, Hamas is doing their best, but they're almost like that pesky little school child right now that Israel is trying to flick off and just get done with. But as far as Hezbollah up in the north goes, they're very much an issue. And they've been, you know, hitting Israel pretty hard over the last several days. Whether or not you see it in the news, it has been happening. And the reason that Hezbollah is actually going after northern Israel like that is because there's several places in the north that are staging points that have been used by the IDF. Number one, you also have Mossad headquarters and several other things like that that they're kind of after. We saw Iran go to actually hit the Mossad headquarters during their ballistic missile attack. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you right now, until Israel clears further and further into Lebanon, none of this is going to stop. I know for a fact Israelis are just ready for all of this freaking indirect fire. It at the end of the day, whether or not like it's getting through the Iron Dome at this point in time, it's just got to be absolutely obnoxious to be having these freaking red alerts go off all the time and the alarms go off all the time. I know it sucks, but I'm telling you, it is just a little short period of time away before all of that stops. But it's going to probably take longer than most people think. It'll take a lot longer than you think, not just because you have to deal with Hamas, not just because you have to deal with Hezbollah, but you also have to deal with nut jobs like this. Meet Viktor Anatolievich. I think I pronounced his name correctly. We traded him for Brittany Grainger. I don't even know how to pronounce her name. WNBA player that smuggled freaking pot over into freaking Russia, got caught with it, arrested, thrown in jail. This man, this is who the Biden administration traded for a WNBA player for her running around with pot, right? He has since been released, obviously, because we did the prisoner swap. And this guy is rumored to currently be supplying munitions down to the Houthis in Yemen. He is a raging POS. This is like a real life Lord of War, but for Russia. And if you're wondering where a lot of the supplies and things like that are making their way in, how they're getting in there, this guy right here. So no, it's not going to stop. We have to deal with that threat as well. U.S. attempted to launch some more airstrikes over down inside Yemen. They were limited in scope, and I really don't think they had that huge of an impact like everybody likes to play it out. But, you know, we've been trying our best. Well, actually, I take that back. The U.S. has not been trying its best in Yemen. Let's just be perfectly clear about that. We've allowed the Houthis to attack us on a daily basis without really throwing too much back at them in return. Now, earlier today, it was rumored, right, that Benjamin Netanyahu had convened his Security Defense Council for an urgent meeting pending something that was bound to go down. It could be this ballistic missile attack that we're talking about right now, or it could be this impending alternate front that they're going to open up over inside of Lebanon. And we're going to talk about that and why they're going to do it here in just a minute. First, what we're going to talk about is some of the bombing campaigns that Israel has been conducting up inside of Beirut. They've been going after key weapons depots for Hezbollah. And the reason they're going after them is for exactly what is currently taking place inside of Israel right now. Some of these missiles that are being launched at Israel do have this type of an effective range to where they can go from Beirut all the way down into Israel. And they have been in the past confirmed to be being flown into the Beirut airport by the IRGC and being supplied directly to Hezbollah. If you're wondering where they come from, it's quite literally that simple. That is how deeply ingrained Hezbollah is over inside of Lebanon. Now, this airstrike ended up being conducted, I believe it came out last night, and I want you to check this out because right now there is rumors about Israel using depleted uranium munitions over inside of Lebanon. And when I'm talking about depleted uranium munitions, we're talking about depleted uranium bombs. One sec, check this out.
Allah,
All right, we're going to stop it right there, and we're going to come over here and we're going to talk about this. What is a depleted uranium bomb, and why the heck would Israel even bother using one? By the way, that's unconfirmed. It's just rumors that are flying around right now because people like things that sound scary so that they can blast it out on social media. Things like white phosphorus, all right? It is not illegal to use white phosphorus, nor is it illegal to use depleted uranium in warfare. The United States actually uses them inside of things like armor-piercing, fin-discarding SABOs. I think I got that acronym right. Basically, anti-tank rounds or anti-armor rounds. The reason depleted uranium is used is because it is a very, very dense metal. It is very, very dense, meaning all of the molecules are just crammed together inside of it. And it does have little hints of radiation that are in it, just like any uranium is going to end up having. But is it enough to cause a nuclear fallout or nuclear disaster? Absolutely not. When you get large concentrations of depleted uranium, yeah, you kind of need to stay away from it. But to give you an idea of how not toxic this crap is, okay, U.S. service members, all right, particularly tankers, particularly people loading these bombs on aircraft and all of this other crap that they're constantly out there working with, do not have to just wrap up in a freaking lead suit in order to fire and shoot these munitions or to attach them to aircraft or for the pilots to be flying inside the aircraft in order to drop these bombs. Nor does the explosion turn it into a bigger nuclear hazard. It's the exact same issue that you're going to have before. So why use a depleted uranium bomb? Well, quite simply because it is more dense and it is more hard and it is going to break through a hell of a lot more structures like that, which you would need for a bunker buster. Same reason we use the APF, armor-piercing, fin-discarding SABO, all right, rounds that are depleted uranium rounds because it's just really heavy and it's just going to get blasted out at a really quick rate of speed. The dang thing's like an arrow. It's just going to punch right through something. And while we're on the same subject and we're going to talk about bombs, your standard Mark 84 2,000-pound bomb has roughly 980 pounds TNT equivalent, depending on what type of explosive filler is inside of it. Your 2,000-pound bunker buster actually has less than 500 pounds TNT equivalent inside of it, and the thing gets detonated underground. So it is going to contain the blast versus the Mark 84 that's either going off above ground, all right, like in proximity to the ground, or actually ground detonation. That is the big difference between them. And an actual 2,000, a legitimate, like old school 2,000-pound bomb, a Mark 84 that you put a guidance package on, actually has more explosive power than a bunker buster. I don't know how else to explain that to people. Stop trying to scare people by using big, scary terms. It's silly. Now, some of these munitions depots are getting struck so close to the airport in Beirut. This is the type of crap that we are seeing. Look at that freaking cloud, look at that smoke plume, and look at the control tower. What ends up happening is Hezbollah literally offloads these weapons, or some other proxies will offload these weapons and move them to warehouses right outside the airport in order to stow them. That's why it's being struck so close to the airport inside of Beirut. For anyone that is out there questioning whether or not the IDF is actually striking military targets, I present to you videos like this one.
Ya Allah Akbar! Ya! Ya Allah Akbar!
I don't know if you caught it right here, but there goes a rocket spinning off and then smashing down over here. And I'm pretty sure there's another one that goes shooting out of there at some point in time as well. Look, long story short, yes, Israel is striking legitimate military targets over inside of Lebanon. There is no doubt about it. It is actually getting to the point where civilians on the ground inside of Lebanon are taking pictures like this one. Here, what you're looking at is actual tail fin from a mortar round. That's what that is. A bomb struck a munitions cache. This is rubble reportedly coming from inside of Beirut. And here you can see the tail fin of a mortar round that would have been a Hezbollah mortar round possibly used against the IDF. So they are conducting legitimate airstrikes against these munitions depots. And there's evidence of it scattered all around the ground over inside of Beirut. Now, as far as all of those big, scary warnings coming about depleted uranium bombs and where they started spreading from, it all came from somebody called the Syndicate of Chemists over inside of Lebanon, trying to warn people that Israel is using depleted uranium munitions, issuing a grave warning, okay, about them. I just explained it to you. They said, don't breathe in the dust from the bombs because it could be toxic. Well, no crap. And for those that don't know, try your best not to breathe in any of that dust in general from any bomb, because it's all going to be toxic. Explosives and the gas fumes that come off of them are all toxic. And while people want to whine and complain about everything that's going on over inside of Beirut, let's take a look at the streets of Haifa. This one in particular, again, ends up coming out from what I saw last night. What you're looking at is the result of a Hezbollah rocket attack inside of Haifa. Ended up striking, it looks like, inside of some freaking civilized area, knocking down a bunch of rubble and stuff thrown everywhere. Now, to be fair, it could have been from the ballistic missile attack that Iran launched, but I don't think it was, to be perfectly honest. Now let's get back to talking about this, the new military exclusion zone announced by the IDF and why they would be wanting to do that. Now, in Friday's video, I shared with you guys this really rough drawing of where the IDF is currently operating in. Now, that military exclusion zone is going to be all the way over here off the map. You guys see the cursor wiggling around? That's where that military exclusion zone is going to be. And what I told you guys in Friday's video was it is extremely obvious. And I talked to a couple other military analysts about some of the stuff that's going on inside Lebanon and what our projections are. And what it would seem is that Israel is kind of doing textbook conventional operations in order to isolate off southern Lebanon. Now, I told you about the two things that they were going to do. I'm going to recap it for you real quick. It looks like this southern front, okay, I'm going to call this one the northern front, the initial reports that we were getting of where the IDF had gone into southern Lebanon, and this kind of being like the southern front, and then we're going to call this one over here the western slash coastal front, I suppose, the one that's off camera that we haven't been able to talk about yet. So in each of these fronts, you have this major intersection. This is a major roadway cutting across southern Lebanon and going up and connecting all of these different parts. Now, this intersection here and this intersection up here are about 3 miles. 3 miles from the Lebanese-Israeli border. And in between these different locations is a couple villages. The reason we didn't see casualties on day one, right, is because you had preparatory fires out in front of the Israelis as they're assaulting across the border. And those preparatory fires displaced Hezbollah fighters and pushed them back. Like I told you, they were going to retrograde back to better defended positions where they can ambush the IDF as they're on their way in. And it looks like that's been happening. So far, it sounds like the Israelis have taken right around 100 casualties and 11 total Israeli KIAs inside of southern Lebanon. I've heard various reports about how many Hezbollah fighters have been taken out. Truthfully, it doesn't matter, because right now what we're focused on is the strategic objective for Israel, which is going to be defending, like ensuring that the Israeli civilians can live in peace, ensuring that Hezbollah rockets are not going to fall on them, ensuring Hamas rockets are not going to fall on them, right? But with that being said, they have these different operations. You have the operation in the West Bank, you have the operation in Gaza, and then you have this one up inside of Lebanon. And in order to meet the strategic objective, ensuring the safety of all these Israelis, you have to do these different operations, i.e. Lebanon, West Bank, Gaza, in the greater Middle East, Iran, to be perfectly honest. So this operation inside of Lebanon, they're going to have specific goals, okay? And in order to meet those goals, they're going to have to meet tactical objectives. So that's what we're pointing out on these maps. This is their tactical objectives that they have to achieve in order to start meeting their operational objectives or operational goals. Once they secure these two intersections, they are going to be part of the way there. They're then going to have to clear out all this mess. So what we're now seeing is an additional phase of this operation, it looks like, being announced by the IDF. Now, there is rumors of an amphibious assault that might be taking place. And the reason those rumors are happening is because of this. All right, let's go up over here to our handy dandy friend, Google Maps. What you were just looking at up on your screen just prior to me going in over here was this would be the northern front outside of Matula going into Lebanon. I hope you guys can see me wiggling that. This would be the southern front that we ended up talking about where the Israelis were going north in order to take this road intersection. And then we have, let me scroll just out a tad bit so you guys can see Beirut on it, where the newest warning from the Israelis has actually came out, warning residents that they need to evacuate. And it was from this location called Sidon all the way south along the coastline going all the way down to the Israeli border. They told people to get the heck out of Dodge. Now, keeping all of that in mind, this is where the rumors of the amphibious assaults coming from, on top of actual currently seaborne watercraft that are out off in the Mediterranean. Is it possible Israel launches amphibious assault? Sure. Did they need to? In my opinion, no. But if they did, where would they land it? In my honest opinion, I would say right up over here by Tyre. Okay, right up over here. If they were going to do it, I think it would be very dangerous, either to the south or to the north of it, and then push and work their way down, likely to the south. I would actually suspect it would be a heck of a lot closer to this location right out here outside of Rish Daya. Okay, but let's get back to the situation at hand. Now, Israel is going to end up coming across this border more than likely and going and securing off this intersection right here in the town of Nakoura. We talked about that last week because they need to finish locking this road down to pretty much handle all those resupplies. And why do I think that an amphibious assault is going to end up happening? Well, I don't. I can't say that for certain. I think it would be a pretty bold and necessary move. But if they did, it would likely just to be go lock down this intersection that you're seeing right here, or a key terrain feature, as we like to call them inside of the military. With that being said, once they cross the border and they go up over into Nakoura, they're just going to end up storming up this coastline probably in order to lock this intersection down or to join those amphibious assault troops or whatever. However they decide to skin that cat, I promise you they're going to do their best to kind of like, I don't want to say shock and awe, but almost like, what the heck did we call it? Thunder runs. Yeah, I could pretty much expect to see a thunder run going all the way up over here to this intersection by Israeli ground units. Now, I'm putting this video up on the screen in order to give you an idea of what the heck has taken Israel so long to move those 3 miles from the Israeli border all the way up to those key intersections of this key terrain features, like I'm telling you guys about down there in the south. You have this very extensive tunnel network, and it far surpasses anything that they're going to have came across over inside of Gaza, reason because of funding and all this other crap. But you have to understand, Israel has to take their sweet time. Plus, they're an assaulting force. And if they try doing this thunder run activity in this type of terrain, I promise you, by the way, Gaza's flat, mostly urban. They're operating in a mountainous-ish type environment, rolling hills and some mountain peaks and things like that over there. It is going to be a much bigger pain in the butt for Israel in order to push through. They have to actually take different key terrain features in order to launch ground assault going into these villages. It's a completely and totally different type of warfare. Does the combat experience from Gaza help out? Sure. Are we looking at a different type of warfare once we push into the countryside where Israel is currently operating inside southern Lebanon? Absolutely. And tunnels like these absolutely are going to slow down the IDF. They have to clear them and figure out where they're going to make sure that these little butthead terrorists don't end up popping up behind them. Now, in addition to all of that that's going on, in addition to the evacuation, basically, we'll call it an evacuation order that was given to the coastal region of Lebanon about midway between Beirut and the freaking Israeli-Lebanese border. In addition to that, it looks like the IDF Arabic spokesperson had actually announced a naval blockade on southern Lebanon, okay, where fishermen and anyone using boats south of the Awali River are urgently warned to stay off of the sea and shore due to upcoming IDF operations targeting Hezbollah terrorist activities. All right. With that being said, Israel is attempting to lock this area down so that Hezbollah fighters in that region that we just pointed on the map cannot get resupplied and they're locked in. It's going to wear them down over time and it'll make Israel's life a little bit easier. So you're going to see momentum pick up as the Israelis continue to take these objectives and begin to wear down Hezbollah. If you want to know how soon it's coming, take a look here. This is videos that just came out today from inside Israel looking across the Lebanese border in that very region we were just talking about. They're already starting to launch preparatory fires against that specific region. Thank you guys for joining me for another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. Again, I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Please subscribe to the channel if you haven't already done so. I love you. Peace, love, happiness, and God bless, ladies and gentlemen. I am out of here.